I invite you to join me now in a spirit of prayer. Holy God, you are where we are, wherever we are. As we listen for your voice amid my voice, speak in ways that we can hear. Speak in ways that we might respond. Speak in ways that challenge and inspire us to be your people. Amen. Not all voices are the same. Not all voices sound the same. Some voices are soft, while others are loud. Some are deep and low, while others are high-pitched and airy. Some voices utter words that comfort and reassure, while other voices utter words that cut like daggers and hurt and destroy. Some voices speak truth. Others feed on falsehood. How we use our voice, individually and collectively, matters, as do the voices we choose to listen to. In order to find our God-given voice and then use it for good and not evil, we must first listen for God's voice, a voice that is filled with both power and love, a voice that welcomes and mourns, that commands our attention, that sometimes shakes us to our very core, but ultimately empowers us to be all that we were created to be. Isaiah heard that voice, a voice that I believe sounded a lot like the one that is described in Psalm 29. Just a little while ago, Pastor Addie read that psalm for us. And if you were listening carefully, you noticed that God's voice was mentioned repeatedly, 7 times to be exact. And in response to the thundering voice of God, the people cried out, "Glory." These words established God as the reigning authority, the one who was in charge of the world, the universe. It is the same voice that is shaking the temple in which Isaiah finds himself in today's Hebrew Scripture lesson. If you like drama, this is the passage of Scripture for you. Fire, smoke, people trembling, the building shaking, angelic beings, cherubim, seraphim, which are like serpentine creatures with fire. And what do they cry out? Holy, holy, holy. That wonderful, simple 4-letter word of faith, 3 times. And not surprisingly, in the early church, folks found reason to provide this as evidence for the existence of the Trinity. Something we cannot explain, do not fully understand, 3 in 1, 1 in 3, awesomeness, as portrayed in this scene from Isaiah chapter 6. A God who is as mysterious as the wind, beyond our knowing, beyond our describing. Isaiah could have run scared. He could have remained silent. But how does he respond to all of this drama, all of this awesomeness? He blurts out a confession. "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." He feels shame. He feels guilt. He doesn't know where to turn, and so he speaks it. And God chooses not to leave him in that place of shame and guilt, not to leave him in that place of feeling unworthy, unacceptable, inadequate. A place where, quite honestly, we all stand when we dare to stand before God. How do things get turned around? One of the angelic beings takes a hot coal and touches the lips of Isaiah with that hot coal, and suddenly his sin is blotted out. Full of shame and guilt, God turns that around, challenging him to use his voice to go to the people of unclean lips and call them back to the God they had chosen to abandon. God equipped Isaiah by addressing his sense of shame, his sense of unworthiness. Then God called him to prophesy to this people whose hearts had become hardened. Isaiah was very willing to do this because he knew these people. He had been one of them, and he was determined to use his voice to help set them free. How does he respond? We read, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?'" And without missing a beat, Isaiah responds, "Here am I, send me." It's kind of like, ooh, 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 I want to go. A story about voice, getting one's voice, sharing one's voice. Isaiah had been silenced by his shame and guilt, and God had given him a voice, and it had enabled him to respond to a call. That's at the heart of this passage, but there are some other fascinating pieces at the heart of this passage as well. For example, when Pastor Addie began reading, I hope you were wondering to yourself, who in the world is King Uzziah? It starts out in the year that King Uzziah died, and of course, I want to know not only who was he, but what did he do and when did he die? Why does that year matter? So a bit of information. King Uzziah died in 742 BCE. File that away. But more importantly, he was the king of Judah for over 40 years. And during his reign, Judah experienced a level of prosperity and peace unlike anything they had ever experienced before. But there was one problem. Sadly, King Uzziah suffered from leprosy, a debilitating, serious skin condition that eventually wore him down, caused his health to decline, and he died. After he was gone, the people quickly forgot how he had led them to God, quickly forgot what he had done for them, and they began to wander away. They began to lose their way, and eventually they just out and out abandoned God. This is where Isaiah steps in. Having been given a voice, having responded to a call, he helps to attempt to turn things around. Something else very interesting about this little passage of Scripture. For decades, for centuries, church leaders have looked to this passage of Scripture to describe for us what the framework of worship should look like. And quite frankly, it is a framework of worship that we follow here at St. John's. We start out with praise and adoration. We may not say every week, "Holy, holy, holy," but we say things that draw people into worship by reminding us of how awesome God is. Next in the scripture lesson, confession. Isaiah cries out, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips," and every week we gather to worship and we confess our sins. After that, an assurance of pardon. "Your sin is blotted out," the angelic being informs Isaiah. And we inform you week in and week out, if we confess our sins, they are forgiven. After that, there is an invitation to respond through Scripture, through the message. In the case of Isaiah, the invitation to respond was, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then the opportunity to actually respond, to go out into the world and do something after we've worshiped. And Isaiah responds, "Here am I, send me." a beautiful passage of scripture about worship, about God's voice, about being called. I do hope that last week you listened to the wonderful musical our children offered virtually, a musical entitled Called, because it beautifully connects with what we are focusing on this week. In their singing, in their reading, in their dialoguing together, they shared with us what it means to hear and respond to the call of God. And I think you would agree if you had an opportunity to watch and listen, that Katie, Sophie, Siobhan, Rosie, Carolyn, and Gwen did a wonderful job of raising the right questions and responding with enthusiasm. They asked questions like, where is the room, the time to find the me in me? Because if we're not paying attention and listening, we're not going to hear God's call. They challenged us to remember that we need to learn what's stirring in our souls. They reminded us God calls us all just the way we are. They challenged us to discover our passion and use it to serve God in our world. And the one that keeps playing in my head had to do with about doing what's right. Not always being easy, but of course it's always, always right. Following God's call, using the voice that God has given us, isn't always easy, but it is always, always right. Using our God-given voice may get us into trouble, but my hope is that the trouble that it gets us into will be, to use the words of the late John Lewis, good trouble, necessary trouble. One of the things that strikes me most about Isaiah's passage of scripture is the fact that Isaiah was willing to change. From that man of unclean lips to someone willing to be God's voice in a difficult situation. It reminds me of a quote I came upon just last week that I'm pretty sure is going to stick with me for a very long time, an easy one to remember. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Think about that. Nothing changes if nothing changes. All that drama we read about in Isaiah chapter 6 wouldn't have mattered if Isaiah had chosen not to change. But he changed. He allowed that coal on his lips to change him. He allowed God's call to change him. And we are invited to do the same, to find our voice, to use it. I must tell you that for years I had a recurring dream. You'll probably chuckle when I tell you what it was. Over and over again, I dreamed that our house was full of people that I had not invited. Many of them I didn't even know. They were everywhere. And when I would try to ask them to leave, I would open my mouth to speak, and nothing would come out. I had no voice. Well, I dreamed that dream for years, and then finally, thankfully, a number of years ago, the dream reoccurred, and in the midst of the dream, I sat bolt upright. Needless to say, I startled my sleeping husband. But I shouted out, and my voice came, and what I said was, "Get out of here now." I wasn't talking to Bob, but it was my voice, and it startled me. Now, we could analyze my dream and try to interpret it. Let's not. Instead, my takeaway is simply this. When we finally find our voice, however we find it, God wants us to use it, to move forward, not back, to claim that voice and to find how it can make a difference. When we find our voice, we need to speak our truth. We need to say what we need to say, even and especially if it causes our voice to shake. As one person put it, we need to live our lives out loud. We need to be God's voice. I know that some of you may feel that throughout your life you have been silenced by life experiences, by circumstances, simply by virtue of your position in the scheme of things. But the good news is, God has not given just some of us a voice. God has given us each a voice. And God is the one who can literally and figuratively untie our tongues. We are called to use those voices to make a difference. We are called to use those voices in a life-giving way. But remember, before you attempt to use your God-given voice, we must each one of us listen for God's voice. How does it sound? I love this description of God's voice found in the midst of a prayer written by Amenna Brown. She wrote, "God's voice is melody and bass lines and whisper and thunder and grace." To hear that voice, sometimes the best thing we can do is put our hands in the center of our chest and feel the rhythm there. Turn down the noise in our minds, in our lives, and whisper, "God, whatever you want to say to me, I'm here. I'm listening. May it be so." Amen.